The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to We the People Radio. With Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
And our guest.
In studio
is Patrick Jones.
He's a quick learner.
We make everyone say their own name so that way the poor people on the other end are like, oh yeah, that must be so-and-so.
Well, but in that case, if you're from the IRS, I am Fred.
Fred. Just Fred.
And if they say something dopey, we just blame it on Bill. So
yep, that's what I'm here for.
We're all good.
Yep. I'm the foil.
So let's see. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We air in California and on Pacific time, noon to 2 every Sunday. And in Philadelphia, WNJC 1360 on the Conservative Commandos Radio Network, Mondays from 1 to 3.
Eastern time.
Yeah. Right. There we go. Did I forget anything good? That was fast.
No, I think we've got all the...
We have a very short list of have-tos.
Protocol out of the way.
There we go. Got all that good stuff. So we were going to talk about guns last week, and we wound up talking about the Middle East and veterans and stuff, which was cool. So this week... It's all about guns.
But we did get into guns a little bit when we were talking about some of the veterans issues.
True story. Lauren led us in there a little bit. But there's just been a ton of stuff going on. And, oh, my gosh, we were listening because we like to torment ourselves. We were listening to progressive radio. And, you know, if you don't listen to progressive radio on Sirius 127 Left, it used to be called 127. The station was 127 Left. Now it's 127 Progress, which is, you know, obviously... That's a progress in quotes. This guy was talking about the First Amendment and how that's all about the separation between church and state. I was like,
yeah, read your First Amendment, folks.
I was like, oh, I wonder. He didn't get into the Second Amendment, though, so I'm sure it's all about hunting, if I was going to follow the logic.
Well, I tell you, this year is going to be a year to remember, unfortunately, not just for Californians, but... for all gun owners throughout the United States, but particularly bad for California. A lot's going to be happening. A lot can happen depending on the ballot initiatives and more Assembly and Senate bills to come. We'll talk about a few of those today that are already coming out. And we're losing tons of freedoms here. And people are most likely not aware to the extent of how much that they've already lost and what we're about to lose. And so we've got a lot to talk about.
Well, and for all those people who are going, oh, good, I'm not going to listen to this. It's all about those dummies in California. Yeah, well, you know what?
Were you going to argue with that?
We are. Yeah, I'm not from here. I just live here now.
Yeah.
But no, it's coming for you next because we seem to, for some reason, do this stupid stuff. And then the other guys think it looks like a good idea.
Well, and of course, we've seen the president talk about executive actions and things that he would like to do on all the states. And that's going to infuriate many, many states that firearms are to be regulated by the states. And here's a president that is telling every state in the union, here's how you're going to regulate gun shows and here's how you're going to do things. And that's going to be taken seriously by a lot of states. And that's those are fighting words. And so, you know, the whole country does have to be worried when you elect a president of this nature that is a staunch anti-gunner, because he can say whatever he wants, but look at his history from back in Illinois, and you'll see what type of person he is and what he would like to do, and what he's capable of doing, and what he likes to do may be two different things, but this will come up this year, and it'll be a fight, and we're certainly going to fight him in Washington, and we hope he does not have much success, and we'll see.
What can he do by himself? I mean, obviously, he thinks he can do whatever he wants, but we know that the House and the Senate are not passing any gun laws, so hooray for that. But what can he do by himself?
Well, with this executive action with gun shows, that's what he's attempting to do. So he's trying to explore waters that have not been done before, and he's attempting to use what he believes to be his executive order powers, if you will, to exert regulations on every state in the union. And that'll be fought and that'll be litigated. But he's so bold to attempt it, to act as if he has the authority to do it,
yeah.
Which in fact he does not. He's circumventing Congress, going around Congress, and going to try to force something on the states that if they wanted, they would do. Now, one of the things that California has done, and many things that California has done, is most of what he's talking about, California has already done.
Yeah, we've already done it.
I was just going to say, how much of what he wants to do, because I didn't really bring the list or anything, how much of what he wants to do did we...
I didn't hear anything in those executive orders he wanted to do that, weren't already in effect in California.
And in fact, 15 years ago in 2000, we had the Gun Show Act of 2000, which stipulates a whole variety of things. There's 3 pages worth of laws of things that have to occur and will occur, and Department of Justice and ATF go to shows and enforce those things. So we've been doing that for 15 years.
And so that totally stopped the San Bernardino. Oh, no, wait, it didn't stop the San Bernardino.
And thing. It doesn't stop a criminal from doing criminal behavior. And, in fact, in Shasta County recently, we've had a rash of murders. And two of them were recently done with hammers.
I was going to say, and they just used the number one weapon, hammers.
Hammers. And so, you know, you can try to regulate firearms more and more and try to force this upon all these different states and bypassing Congress. It's only going to create a fight. And for the president, to be honest, for the president to do this in an election year weakens his party. And it's a mistake on his part to push for this. It's uncharted waters. It's illegal. It'll be looked at as illegal. And in an election year, it's just simply unwise. Now, that's good for us in a way that it puts a lot of attention on it. And again, we can show here in California that it doesn't work. It doesn't change criminal behavior.
No.
The folks that pay attention and abide by the laws it shows are not your criminals.
Well, it also doesn't cut back on terrorism because the guys in Southern California,
they bought their guns legally.
Yeah. So for all the people who, I don't know. I know that we're sort of like the choir in here, you know, so we've got to make sure we don't let those guys out there be thinking all these things we don't answer. So for all those people that say, well, you know, the police will take care of us. I'm sure you get that a lot. Yeah, I mean, you own a gun store. You've been doing it for, 25 years? So I'm sure you've heard all this 100 times. All right, what do you say to those folks?
Well, you know, we do need police. There's no question that sheriff deputies throughout the nation and state troopers and police officers, they all play an important role in every city and in every county in the United States. But the bottom line is that when you have an immediate action in front of you, you have to take care of yourself. When has a police or a sheriff deputy been right there to help you in your time of need? It's almost impossible. For example, our town, 90,000 people, about 120,000 people during the day, and we have 100 police officers, and not all of them are on duty at the same time, maybe half. So,
Do the math.
So the reality is, while they're there and they're on their beats and they're doing their jobs and they'll take reports and they'll follow up and they can even arrest people, they're not going to be there when you need them. You have to take care of yourself. Now, that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it always will be, that you have to provide that type of security, and you have to take your personal protection seriously. Now, one of the things the Southern California shooting did, the only good thing, I think, is that it awoken a lot of people across the nation and here in California, is that they put themselves in that position. A lot of people could have seen themselves in that exact same building at a Christmas party. We all do those kinds of things.
Yeah, for work.
For work, invite, you know, birthday parties, all kinds of things. But a Christmas party is something that most of us will do one or two a year, often in December, early December. And so we can put ourselves in that position. And most people, when they ask themselves, what would I have done differently? The answer is they wouldn't have done anything differently. They would have sought cover the best they could, and then they were at the whim of those terrorists, and that's a bad thing. When your life now is in the hands of someone that doesn't care about you and doesn't care about this country, or someone that's mentally ill, or anybody for that matter that wants to do you harm, and a lot of people have woken up to that, and they said, you know what, that could have been me, and what can I do about it? Now, we're lucky here in Shasta County, and a lot of people out there in a lot of different states across the nation, they're in a good state where concealed weapon permits or open carry permits are easily being able to be given out or to be had. And you should start doing that. We need law-abiding people to start carrying every day. Every day. Wherever you go, you should be able to protect yourself. And we need law-abiding people to take the time, get the instruction that they need, and be able to do that confidently. When you carry yourself confidently, criminals, one, tend to leave you alone. But two, you can take care of your immediate surroundings. And we're not doing that. We've taken our personal protection for granted for too long. Mm-hmm. We live in a pretty safe world. We live in a pretty safe country.
We live in a pretty safe country, really.
We live in a pretty safe country, and we live in a pretty safe county and city. But it's not void of criminal actions, and it can happen. And the wake-up call, I think, for a lot of Californians, and certainly Southern Californians, was that shooting recently, and that they put themselves in that condition and that position and said, what would we have done? And unfortunately for folks in Southern California, most of them cannot acquire a concealed weapon permit, and we don't have open carry in California any longer. And so I feel sorry for most of the millions of people in California that they don't have a sheriff that is strong-willed enough to see the common sense in issuing concealed weapon permits like we do here in Shasta County. Our sheriff here and all of our sheriffs in the past have taken that point very seriously, and per capita we have one of the very highest carrying counties in the state of California.
Where are we with our gun crime compared to the rest of the state? I mean, it feels like it's really low, but I actually don't know the numbers.
Well, I don't know the statistics, and you know, and when you get statistics from Department of Justice, it's a little it's tough to decipher.
You have to consider the source.
It's very misleading. And you know, for us in Shasta County, for example, when we have a couple homicides for that year, our percentage of violent crime just went up 100%.
Yeah, right.
And so that'll make national news, as it recently has. But the reality is, that's a misleading statistic, and that's common for us in Shasta County because we generally have a fairly low rate of violent crime. Not void from violent crime, but it's not a high percentage. Now, what we do have is a tremendous amount of property crime, and that's got people's attention. So much so that they've become numb to reporting it because it's happening every day so much. And we need to stop that too. We need to teach those types of criminals that is not tolerated here too, and we're not stopping them. Again, if you think police and sheriff can do that for you, well, can they? Are they? They can't.
It's interesting. I don't know, a year or so ago, and I was at some public meeting, and Mark Baird made the comment that police are not legally required to protect you. And I actually think he asked people, how many people think the police are legally required to protect you? And I think everybody's hand went up. And he goes, no, they're not. You can see people were all kind of frustrated and irritated. Interestingly enough, when you think about it, if they were legally required to protect us, then every time a crime happened, the police would be liable.
Sure.
I mean, we would literally each have to have one of our own.
Well, and Mark said it correctly.
So that's not actually possible.
And Mark is a true patriot, and he would know. And the reality is, you know, police officers, they do serve and protect. That's their job. That's what they're paid to do.
But they're not legally required to protect you because they can't.
But they can't.
I had that same conversation with my mom. My mom's like, well, honey, that's silly. And then we kind of, you know, unpacked it, and she goes, oh. Yeah, I never thought about that.
I talk to people every day, and I sell firearms 6 days a week. So today I don't sell anything on Sunday. But
today we're pitching firearms. We're not selling them.
Today's God's day, and we like it that way. But for the rest of the week, that's what I do is I sell firearms. And the things that are selling today across the nation are home protection and more than that, personal protection, and these are small carry guns that people are carrying on them. And to be honest, the industry wasn't particularly good about supplying that type of firearm in the vast numbers because the public wasn't asking for it. And in the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a large shift from every major manufacturer, if that's the type of firearm or firearms that they build, typically small handguns, be it small semi-auto handguns and small revolvers. They've really been gearing up in the last few years to supply those types of guns, and that's what's been selling across the country is small guns. These aren't pretty guns. These aren't guns that are going to get you to the Olympics, but these are guns that will go on you, that are small, that are mobile, and when we get back from the break, we can talk more about it.
Yes, because then if you're at the movies or wherever where some nut shows up, hopefully there's somebody to defend you from them, and hopefully it's you. All right, so quick break. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back. This goes out to all the people who are making bad laws about guns. Here's their theme song today.
What shall we do about them? soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them? These days I go down to Walmart and they settle them in the back. Some people want to take them away. Why don't you go busting boys that's selling crack? Guns, whether Remingtons or Glocks. Come on, man, it ain't like I'm a-slangin' them on the block. I'm gonna tell you once and listen, son. As long as I'm alive and breathing, you won't take my gun.
It is Sunday, so all together now. Amen.
Well, I wish that was true in California.
Yes, in our dreams it's true.
So okay, today, so what's selling today is small concealable handguns, be it in semi-autos and revolvers, and we do have a few models to choose from. However, and this should be a wake-up call to all the other states that think that if you allow a little bit of firearm regulation.
This is where cooperation and collaboration and,
right.
And you know, we're just going to work together. Give them a little,
right.
You know, for their control thing.
And it's
and
what happens.
We'll be fine.
And it's why we, you know, we have such problems in California, because as we give an inch, they take a foot. And,
yeah.
And then we end up what we have today in California. So, for example, today, small concealable guns are carrying. However, we can only sell what's on what's called the California Department of Justice approved roster. And if you look on that roster today, there's around 700 models that are approved for you to purchase. And these are double action revolvers and semi-autos. And that is all that you can buy in the state of California as a new handgun, 700. Now,
if we could buy whatever we wanted.
7,000 models.
Yeah.
So you already are restricted by 90%.
Because I can hear my mom saying, well, 700, that's a lot, honey.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
If you thought that was just every make and model, but the problem is that it's spelled out under California law to a minute degree. So what occurred was back in 2001, the state passed a drop test requirement that before a handgun could be sold in California, that you had to prove to the state that it was safe. Now, we didn't think it was a big deal when it passed.
Is it for real? Like if they
yeah,
dropped it
yeah,
on
they,
the ground,
they,
then it wouldn't fire? Is
absolutely.
That?
They drop them. Okay. They slam them. They actually test these guns in Sacramento. That's what they tell us. So if you believe that, that's what they tell us, and that's all we know.
I wonder who stands
so,
in that room.
So let's take a particular gun, for example. Let's take a Glock Model 17, been around for 30 years plus. And if you want to sell that particular gun in California, you submit three of those, and those are $550 handguns, so you submit three of those, and you do not get those back, and they will test them and destroy them in the testing process, and then you pay about a $6,000 fee to have that test performed, and then if it's passed as deemed safe, then you get a B on the roster for $200 for 1 year, $200 for every year, and that's for one gun, that's the Glock 17, you got to do all that. Now, if you have another Glock, like a Glock Model 22, you got to do it all over again and pay the $6,000 fee and the $200 fee.
And if they have different grips, you were saying
that's
all
correct,
the
and different colors. And so, if you have different colors, you got to do it.
You
got to
test all the colors.
I got to test
in case the color makes the gun shoot.
So you could have five different 17s that they would have to pay
correct.
A fee on each one.
For example, a Sig 238 today, we have two different variations that we can sell in California, but the rainbow color, which is quite a pretty color, cannot be sold in the state of California today. And that's
you know what? I think we could probably make a good LGBT case against that. We could probably get that back in.
So here's why the state did that. They did not, basically, the state of California does not like, and the legislature, and all the anti-gun politicians in Sacramento, which is 3 out of 4, they don't like the numbers of firearms sold in the state of California. So they felt that if they did this requirement, that it would reduce the sales. Well, what it did was overnight, we went from 7,000 down to about 4,000 models. Now, did it reduce the sales?
Yeah, no.
No.
That mushroomed, I'm sure.
No, because people, instead of being able to choose from 7,000 models, they bought from the 4,000 that we could. So the state then said, all right, we got to pass more stuff and amend this bill to add more requirements. So now if you ship in that Glock 19, you've got to have a Glock 17, you have to have a chambered round indicator on it by law. And if you don't have that feature on that gun, it cannot come into California. So overnight, we went from 4,000 down to 3,000. What happened with the total numbers of sales? nothing. In fact, if anything, they increased because now there's a sense of urgency. And the state thought, well, hey, if there's 4,000 guns and now we have 3,000, there'll be less sales. Well, it didn't happen. So the state, in its wisdom, a few years later said, okay, we need another feature now. We need to add some more requirements on top of this. So they amended it again. And now, so you have to have a chambered round indicator. You got to submit these guns and pay all those fees. And now you have to have a magazine disconnect. That's when the magazine is out of the gun. The gun will not fire. That is a state law in California. So you have to have chambered round indicator and the magazine disconnect and pay those fees and submit those guns and pay the $200 fee from now on every year. Now, what happened to the number? It went down to about 1,250 guns from 7,000 at the early days all the way down to about 1,250. What happened with the numbers of sales each day? It continued on because, again, people had a sense of urgency that, hey, we only have certain models to choose from. We can't buy this one and that one. We'll have to buy from what we can. So now the state's done it again. Passed a couple years ago, and it's in effect now, California state law. And it is a de facto ban, but what they did was they created a regulation that nobody in the world can do, and that's the firing pin microstamp. So that's when the firing pin strikes the primer that indents a micro serial number. And that is requirement. That is a requirement of the law in California today. Now,
except it can't be done.
It cannot be done in a manufacturing setting.
Huh.
And every manufacturer in the world said, "That's it. We can't do that. We can't do that reliably with what we have today. So we will never ship in any new models of double action revolvers or semi-autos into the state of California ever again. We'll simply rely on those guns that are already grandfathered and on that approved roster."
Until they figure out a way to...
Now, is that all... So all manufacturers now are...
All manufacturers in the world are required to do those three things or they can't sell a gun in California. And that is the California
law. How many manufacturers are like, hey, you know what? It's a big world out there, California. We're just going to scribble them off our shipping list.
Well, to give you an idea today, each year that roster, starting January 1st, and starting January 1st, 2016, we had 800. And now we're down to 700. Starting last year, we had 1,250, and at the start of 2015, we dropped 450. And so each year, we're dropping more and more, and the manufacturers are simply having to leave the state of California more and more. Colt, for example, they only have one semi-auto now that we can sell, just one. Ruger, the largest gun maker in the United States, has one semi-auto that we can sell in
the state
of California.
This is going to look like one of those old Western, well, actually probably a Revolutionary War deal where we have the little powder and we dump it in there and then the ball and we get the little stick. And
well, we still have those.
I know, but we're going to have to, we're actually going to have to learn how to use them.
Well, in California, they even require, in fact, they have classified those muzzle loaders as firearms. Now, they're exempt from the 10-day wait, but they've already, in California, unlike other states, have already classified those as firearms. But for those folks listening, if you can listen...
Loophole.
If you can listen to all this insanity, this can happen to you if you let it, because we've let it happen here in California.
Are we the worst in the country?
We are now the worst.
Yeah, okay.
And getting worse. And so soon we won't have any semi-autos. And this now, technology, is now while they say is out there, it's the law in California. And I believe now what the state will turn their attention to is now enact this on rifles. They've already got this now on certain handguns, and the state Supreme Court has backed it up, saying it's lawful, that states have the right to regulate firearms. This is a regulation. The industry says you've set the bar so high that it's a regulation that no one can do, that it's a de facto ban. The California State Supreme Court argued differently and said, no, this is, in fact, regulation. You can do it. You don't know how to do it, but you could figure it out. And so that's what we have today, and so we're very limited. Now, to make matters worse... The state of California, not the legislature.
You are Billy Mays.
Pretty much.
There's more.
To make matters worse, now the state of California has said that of those 700 models that are approved, you can't make any internal changes at all. Or if you do, and that's fine if you do, but you have to resubmit, be subject to all the new requirements, and pay your fees over again. Any internal changes, that means any spring, any screw, any pin diameter. Well, that's impossible. So guns are going to be falling off at an alarming rate, and we will have no semi-auto.
Yeah, because, just like any other product.
You can't make it
you
for any length of time.
Yeah.
They always want to improve it and make it better. Now, on the pistols that are approved for California today, how are they approved if they're not micro-stamping them?
They've been grandfathered, so they had most of these guns that are approved. Let's say it's a four-year-old design. It had to have the chambered round indicator and the magazine disconnect. And if they did those things, they got approved. and they're still selling it, and there's been no internal changes during this last 3 or 4 years. So they can still be sold. Those are the 700 guns that are essentially grandfathered today, as long as they make zero changes. Now, you and I know, as you've said, it's impossible. It's impossible to build something for multiple years without a single internal change. So which of these guns have had changes and which haven't? Now, is it the factories are not saying if there's been a change?
Right.
Does the state have to go find them? So really, on the list today of 700, do we really have 700 guns that are approved or not? I don't know, but there is a big sense of urgency right now in California to better get what you can while you can, because our world is changing quickly. We have let them do this to us, and we have allowed them to regulate us right out of this market. Now, these are the number one selling guns in the world right now, and we are being stripped from that. It is ludicrous to have one gun with a rainbow finish and one gun with a silver finish, and one can be sold and one cannot. But that's what we have in California, and mm-hmm. we've allowed it. And if we've allowed it, don't laugh too much in Texas or Arizona, because if it happens here, it can happen to you
right.
too. Don't let this disease spread to your legislature. Be cautious with them and don't allow the overregulation. We're open to sensible regulation, but when they go this far, it's obvious what they're doing.
Well,
they're banning guns.
You almost
guns.
Can't sure. afford to be open to sensible legislation, because there isn't any.
Well, they, like I said,
I mean, they don't get sensible.
You give them an inch and they'll take a mile, and
sure.
that's just what we've been dealt with. And now it's very hard for us to get these things back. We're in trouble now. And so what I believe they're doing, because none of this will change criminal behavior, as you know. You can pass all the laws you want, and you're not going to change.
Yeah, criminals aren't buying their guns at gun stores,
right.
and they don't give a crap if it has, you know, 6 rounds, 5, or, you know, 50.
So while
don't observe any of
it's
that.
It's affecting the law-abiding person, it's not affecting criminal behavior. So what are law-abiding people going to do? In essence, what we're doing is we're creating an unknown black market that we're unfamiliar with, but it's happening. People today are going out of state, buying things, and then returning to California with them. Now, in the eyes of the state, they're now a criminal, which is what
sure.
the state wants. Here you have otherwise a law-abiding person that simply wants to buy the gun that they would like to buy. Is that a criminal? Is that a real hardened criminal? Absolutely not. But in the eyes of the state, you've got a criminal
That's right.
gun owner.
Now, what about I think they made a change in the law for passing a gun from family member to family member. We have family that's in Texas that has guns. If they were to will a gun to a relative in California, can that person bring
and
it
it's
in?
It's not one of the 700.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, unfortunately, if you have, for guns coming into California, if it's not rostered, meaning of one of those 700 handguns, it's a very difficult procedure.
It doesn't get grandfathered.
It's not grandfathered. You cannot ship that gun in. Let's take a quality older revolver, for example, a Smith & Wesson Model 19, been around forever, an excellent gun, very solid, very well built. If you had an uncle in Texas that passed away and willed it to you, and it was at a gun shop there, and they sent it to a gun shop here, we couldn't get it to you. There is no legal way for us to get that to you in that manner. For now, if that gun, let's say, was inside California, a private party transfer could happen when the uncle was alive, where you would go down to a gun store and you would wait the 10 days, you would pay a fee.
But that's only if it was already
alive and if it was already in California.
Right.
So that is possible in that scenario. But when they're outside of the state and shipping in from dealer to dealer, which is the standard procedure, if it's not rostered, we can't do that. And so we have to remind people all the time. I get calls, I'm not kidding, every day about, hey, I've got this over here, or hey, I saw this for sale. Can you receive it for me? And 9 out of 10 times it's no, that we can't. And the only loophole within the law that I'm aware of today, and it probably won't be there that long, is if you have a son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter, mother or father outside of California, they can buy you a gun and gift it to you. Now, you have to physically go there and get it, or they have to physically bring it here and give it to you. But I believe that to be a loophole today, and I suspect it won't
last
much.
But it still has to be one of the 700.
No, it can be an unrostered gun if it's son or daughter, grandson, but not your brother or sister,
right.
not your uncle. It has to be in that vertical line. And then you do a report of ownership where you fill out a form, send it in to Department of Justice, tell them who you got it from. In this case, it's your son or daughter. And they will allow that for now. But that is an easy thing for them to change. And as they see those numbers increasing, then they will absolutely cut that out. As long as the number is small, then they say it's a small number and they'll be okay with it. And so, but again, that's the kind of nonsense that
right.
we have in California that we have to put up with. And it'll get worse. And so for all those states out there.
That's the one thing we know for sure. It's like, which direction will we go?
It's not going to get
downhill.
Better. It is definitely not going to get better, and I was always optimistic that, you know, because we have a constitution and you have, you know, the Second Amendment that is very clear and very simple that you have an individual right to keep and bear arms. But clearly here in California, we're creating de facto bans. The state Supreme Court is backing it up. The legislature has gone wild. We have some new legislation. In fact, I just got wind yesterday of some new legislation, Assembly Bill 1663, that is going to, again, change the definition of what a California assault weapon is.
Ugh.
And so we're going to go down that path again. And this will be the third time mm-hmm. that California has done that. They've done it in 89 and in 2000, and now they're going to do it again in 2016. And that is for surely going to pass.
And, of course, all of our people who don't know anything about
correct.
This sort of thing, they fall for it because they think, well, that'll make them safer.
Well, assault weapon.
We better take a quick break. Yeah, the assault, the AR thing. Yeah,
right.
We should talk about that. Scary black guns. So we're going to talk about scary black guns when we come back. You're what? Listening to We the People. What's that?
Black guns matter.
Hey, that's a good idea. Hashtag black guns matter. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. I think I just heard some liberal's head explode.
Where are these songs when you need them?
I know. Well, Bob's got them all. I knew today would be a fun. We'd have a song fest today, so not to disappoint.
We have a question in the chat room.
Oh, we do?
Is an earlier model semi-auto Benelli shotgun. Is that available or able to be sold in California?
You know, today in California, under the assault weapon ban of 2000, they do list some handguns. They do list quite a few rifles and some shotguns. So there are some Benellis that do get tied up into the California assault weapon ban and it being an assault shotgun, but most do not. So an earlier Benelli, like a Benelli Super Black Eagle 1 or a Benelli M1, in a standard hunting configuration, should be fine.
What about an M4?
An M4 is fine in most scenarios as long as it has only a 5-round magazine tube, which that's usually the way that it comes into the United States. And so that gun is generally the way that it's shipped in okay. And the Benelli M4 is a world-class shotgun. In fact, the United States military uses them and has been using them in Afghanistan and overseas. It's super stout, very high-quality gun. And you just need to make sure that the magazine tube, and really all you have to do is read the assault weapon ban of 2000 with regards to the rules pertaining to the shotgun portion and make sure that it's okay there, and then it should be fine.
Okay, so what's the whole deal with the, you know, assault weapons? They say that, and it makes it sound like, I don't know, they run around and shoot people by themselves,
well,
is probably why they call them that.
In order to facilitate their actions, they need to demonize certain guns. And if you're going to win, you've got to divide and conquer. You've got to use names, and they've got to be derogatory and nasty by nature. When I was a kid, it was the Saturday Night Special.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Right.
And a sniper rifle. Why would you want a sniper rifle? You know, why? What good would come of that? So we've got to use these mean terms, and the assault weapon term is the term that they use. But it's an incorrect term, but it's a sound, you know, a sound, it's a name that has a particular sound to it that makes people feel that you shouldn't have it. And so the state then feels that they should be able to regulate it and, in fact, ban it. And so really an assault weapon is more of a full-auto machine gun, which are already regulated in the United States. And
right.
We already have rules on those. And full-auto machine guns can be owned in every state of the union with the proper permits. Now, when's the last time that you had a criminal act with a registered machine gun? You can't find it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have to go back a long time. So it's, again, nonsense, and we just are asking for some common sense, but we don't get any here in California. So they create the term assault weapon and then proceed to ban them. The problem is that assemblymen, assemblywomen, and senators in California, most of them are idiots, and they're gun idiots.
It's true.
They're ignorant with regards to firearms.
They never had a gun in their hand in their life, and
right.
So they don't think anybody else needs
and
to
so
either.
And so when you're an idiot and you're going to pass a bill or going to create a bill and you know nothing about the firearms, but yet you hold up a black gun in front of the assembly and say, look at this mean thing. Why would anybody need to have that? And this world's going to be better if you get rid of these things. And that's how it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they began. So when they banned the first time around in California, and again, we already have two California state assault weapon bans in effect now. And we're about to have a revision on the second one here shortly. The first one was Roberti Roos ban in 1989, and that the state of California said, we're going to list, and the Attorney General has the right at any time to list any specific make and model and deem it an assault weapon. And they got 90 days to register it, and it's banned, and then no more can be sold in the state of California. So with all that, then the manufacturer said, well, fine, a Colt AR-15, for example, we're not going to make that anymore. State said, great. Colt said, well, we're going to make the gun very similar, called a Colt Sporter. And HK-91, for example, HK said, well, okay, we won't create the HK-91 anymore. We'll create the HK-911. And the state said, wait a second, you can't do that. That's almost the same gun.
And
the manufacturer said, nope, your law said, you have the right to list every specific make and model. So
yep.
We'll change those models every day if you want to. We'll see how long you want to do this. So while there is about 100 guns listed on the 1989 ban, and that ban is still in effect, and they can still arrest you for it if you have one of those particular guns. I own one of those particular guns. The HK-91, for example, that is a gun that I hunt with, and I've hunted with that my entire life. I have that as a registered assault weapon. I have to transport it in a hard-locked container. I can only use it on private property or property with written permission. It's very restricted in California. But HK just simply went on to make a different model. That went to court, and that was upheld. Your law said specific makes and model. And so, Attorney General of California, you're going to have to go do that if that's what you want to do. But you can't just ban them all and say all HK-91 types. You don't get to do that. So the state was upset with that. So in 2000, they said, okay, well, we're going to fix that problem. No more makes and models. While that law still is in effect, we're going to keep it. We're going to create a new ban in the year 2000. And that will list specific features that will be banned. So today, for the most part, and there are exceptions, of course, for some shotguns and handguns, that any centerfire semi-automatic rifle with a detachable magazine, if it has those three things, centerfire semi-automatic with a detachable magazine, if it has any one of the five other features like collapsible stock, folding stock, pistol grip, bayonet lug, those kinds of things, flash hider, then it's a California assault weapon. And so when that passed and went into effect January 1st, 2000, then most of those guns were barred. However, within a few years, we learned that you could do a different type of magazine latch that would take the quick detachable out of the equation. And we still sell those guns today as called California compliant.
And that's the bullet button.
That's the bullet button. So now you fast forward to today, and now they don't like the bullet button. So they've got an assembly bill that just was introduced on Thursday, which says no more bullet buttons in essence. And they're going to redefine the definition of what a California assault rifle is and, again, try to get rid of those guns off the market. And I'm pretty certain this was in response to the recent shootings in Southern California where AR-type guns were used. The reality is that whether they had an AR or whether they used a Remington 700, I guarantee you they could create the level of mayhem with any kind of firearm they wanted.
Sure.
Or, in fact, they could have barred the doors, set the building on fire, and created even more mayhem. You can create all these laws you want. It's not going to stop criminal behavior, but it's how they think. And unfortunately, the state is backing them up and saying states have the right to regulate firearms, and this is a regulation, and they can regulate it. Now, we're going to go around this because, again, we're talking about assemblymen and assemblywomen, and they're idiots. And so as they create a ban and particular wording, they do not understand firearms, and so we can go around it. Now, it makes a lesser gun, if you will, but the industry will respond. We don't give up easily, and we will fight.
Well, neither does the public.
The public doesn't give up easily, and this is our right. And
but what about the guns that are already here? Well, they can't get rid of those, can they?
Well,
unless they put them on a ban list. Any gun with a bullet button is banned.
Well, I'm not going to say they can or they can't, but we do know that you will have a year when the bill passes, if it passes this year, and I believe it will, you will have a period of 1 year to register that with the state of California and pay a $19 or a $20 fee.
Aren't they already registered?
They are registered with the state already, but they are not registered specifically as a California assault weapon. And again, under that, there are certain terms and conditions. You got to transport it in a hard lock container. You can only use it on private property with written permission and so forth. So there are restrictions when you own an assault weapon that people don't understand. And so they want it to be restrictive by nature, because I guarantee you this, and I've lived this life, because I've hunted with one of these guns since 1989, so I've had to do all those things all these years. And I can tell you this, you have to make great effort to do it legally, and it's almost impossible to do it legally, because when I'm on a road and I go through Roseburg property or something, I don't have permission to be on Roseburg. But I guarantee you, all the roads in the woods, I don't know all the different property owners, and
yeah,
I don't
exactly
have permission. It's almost impossible to do it right. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating that I often don't use the gun in California. I use it out of state in the rest of the free world for now. And but that's what they want, massive regulation, so that you can't do it right, so that when they come along, they can seize the gun, send it down to DOJ.
Make you a felon and take away all the rest.
And take all the way rest, and then you never own firearms.
Well, then there's a question of whether or not
yikes,
your local authorities will actually enforce the letter of the law.
Well, what I can see around here is that typically, first, something has to draw their attention to something. You have to
right,
have contact from law enforcement at some point. And that could be something as simple as a fender bender. It could be a dispute over a deer and a property line or something like that, where law enforcement's called to the scene for whatever reason. And then when they see a particular firearm, and if they're not certain about it, then that gun often goes, to Sacramento Department of Justice, where they do their investigation, and it goes from there. And I can tell you from my own personal experience dealing with DOJ that sometimes they get it right and sometimes they get it wrong. They are not the experts that we think all the time. Now, sometimes they do get it right, but then you've got to convict that person in Shasta County. And I can tell you also from experience that in Shasta County, most people, or a lot of people on a jury, when you have 12 folks there looking at you, and they all ask the question, we're going to send this guy to prison for that?
Right.
And a lot of times they won't do it. And I've seen that here firsthand on several occasions.
Yeah, the trick is to keep the trial in Shasta County.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if that was a case in Southern California, you'd have a totally different outcome there.
Yeah, here's a fun little stat. In 2011, there were 323 murders committed with a rifle, but 496 committed with hammers.
Hammers, very bad.
Hammers are. I had no idea hammers were that bad.
Yeah, I got rid of all mine.
Well, but you saw the president the other night shed a tear and said, if we could stop
just one,
it be right? So if we took away your freedom to save one of these things, wouldn't it be acceptable?
Wouldn't that be okay if you were just in a gulag for a little while, because we'd all be better off? We better take a break now before we say something that, I don't know, is going to cause somebody to come running through the door
and
SWAT outfit.
My breathing is getting short.
We haven't even got to the governor of California yet, so.
Oh, God. The moon, we have to talk about the moonbeam?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little
all
bit.
Right, you're going to like it. You're listening to We the People Radio. We're here with Patrick Jones from Jones Fort. It's a gun shop, needless to say. We'll be back.
To the town of Albury, who rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip.
He got a custom Continental, he got a Eldorado too. He got a 32 gun in his pocket for fun. He got a razor in his shoe.
What about the hammer? Is he the hammer?
Oh yeah, but he's not going to show the hammer.
With a hammer.
Jim okay. Croce's one of my favorites.
I know. He's got some good stuff. So, all right, next hour we're going to talk about this some more because we didn't even get to Jerry Brown.
The wonderful governor. And it's even been past governors. For example, when I was, I can't remember if I was vice mayor of Reading or mayor of Reading at the time, but Schwarzenegger had come into town. In fact, I might have just been on council at the time because...
A.K.A. the philandering disappointment.
Yeah, I think it was probably 2006 or 7, somewhere in there. And he had signed legislation banning 50 caliber rifles in the state of California in 2004. And we make those types of guns and sold them. And they're high quality precision target rifles, long range, of course. And so I personally asked him when he was in Reading, face to face, I said... you know, Governor Schwarzenegger, why did you sign legislation that banned 50 caliber rifles when there's never been one criminal act committed with one of these rifles in California history? Why would you pass legislation when nothing has ever gone wrong with one? And his response was, well, we don't want to wait till something bad happens. But that's just classic.
I mean, that's like taking all the cars away.
But that's almost
like... You better walk. You might wreck your car.
But that's almost like the president shedding a tear. We've got to do it just to stop it, you know, from happening. And if that's the kind of government you're going to have, you're not going to be able to do much at all.
No. You can't stop everything every time.
There's a good one. Criminals love gun control. It makes their jobs safer. That makes it all better. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Oh, no, wait. This is the 5 minutes. Sorry.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Second hour here of We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Have the archive up here, little hour or so. And then Robert does a nice commercial-free one for us. So you'll have that available to you as well. See, we air from noon to 2 on the West Coast on Sundays and 1 to 3 on the East Coast in Philadelphia and New Jersey. And all of our information you can find at wethepeopleradio.us. We'd love to get your ideas for programs, guests, topics, stuff like that.
All that fun stuff.
Go ahead and email us. Yeah, email Bill. He gets a lot less email than I get.
Oh, yeah.
don't email me. Email Bill.
I hit the forward button a lot on my email.
Oh, I know.
Forward it to her. So
sad. So we're here with Patrick Jones from Jones Fort, which is a local gun shop.
Yeah, if you have any questions on the new laws, and there are plenty of them
good luck,
as of
good
January.
Luck to you.
Yeah. Give us a call and we'll
pretty much the answer to everything is no. Right?
It's getting pretty close.
Can I? Yeah. No. You just mostly could say that right out of the box.
Well, it's unfortunate, you know, because, you know, here in California we have almost 40 million people, and we're becoming quickly, and I think probably now, the most restricted state in the union, and the largest in numbers, and we're the most restricted, and yet what has it accomplished?
Yeah.
You know, all these regulations, are we better today because of the lack of freedom
than
what we were
50
years ago? Well,
shoot, it's worked so well in Chicago and Detroit. I mean, there are so many places you can point out where, you know, restricting guns has...
Really just solved the problem.
Well, it's actually just made it a criminal mecca.
You could almost argue that it's made it worse.
We've argued about the 10-day waiting period for 40 years, that it was punitive by nature, and that we didn't have any problem with the background check, and we encouraged that. But waiting, making people wait 10 days was wrong. We recently, in fact, last year, we had a federal judge rule that to be unconstitutional, that if you've already bought a firearm or if you have, say, something like a concealed weapon permit, you do not need to wait wait 10 days. You already own firearms.
Oh, yeah,
you already have a good
that.
Background.
So what happened to that?
He gave it 6 months for anyone to appeal it. No one did. The Attorney General of California simply said no. Not going to do it.
So
and that would be Kamala
matter.
Harris, who'd be running for governor, by the way, just in
Correct.
Case you live in California.
So it doesn't matter what the voters say.
Do something
they
stupid.
Just the vote is doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't matter what a federal judge says. Doesn't matter whether it's punitive in nature. Doesn't matter that no other state or very few other states do it this way.
Well, it doesn't matter that the Constitution says
right.
That
so in California, one person made the decision.
Yep.
That's the way it's going to be.
And so far, you know, and if we had a real U.S. Attorney General, they'd weigh in on this real quick and you wouldn't see this problem.
Well, they're
so.
Too busy selling guns.
Well, if we had a real Department of Justice, we, you
right.
know, at the federal level, there are a lot of things to be going on, too. Well, Hillary would be in prison.
And people have asked that all the time. They remember that. And they said, hey, isn't that 10-day wait gone by now? Because it's a real burden. And what it does, it's a punitive by nature. It restricts people. You know, when I have folks that come in from Hoopah and Alturas and New Pine Creek, you know, they don't come into town very often, and so they have to return back in 10 days, and then they only have a 20-day window thereafter to pick up, or their background check is dead.
Oh, you're
and
kidding.
And so they have a window there, and so they don't come into town every 30 days, so they can't buy. They just simply cannot buy
right.
in Reading. And so it's done on purpose that way as a punitive measure, when these people have good backgrounds. And we know they're not criminals.
Yeah, and they bought firearms before and didn't kill anybody with them.
And we know this, and we have 50 years of history on it, and yet this is the fact. And so when the state wants to argue we just want to do certain things to help, we don't believe you. We don't believe you, and we have zero trust with you anymore because of what you've proven to
well,
us.
Well, and they also can't show that the things that they've done previous have had any impact whatsoever.
Any positive impact.
And
yeah.
so, you know, even though you're not that old, actually, I think you're younger than I am.
Well, she's got to be older than me.
younger than you, too, Bill, because we're all younger than Bill.
Oh, easy.
Jeez, Bill. You got to do this every day, too.
Just,
huh?
I do, yes.
Just a matter of time before Bill went under the bus. But you've been involved in your family's been involved in selling guns and fixing them and
yep,
all the things
fact,
that gun
I
shops
grew up,
do.
I grew up in the gun shop. It's my only job.
So and, for like 40 years, right?
I've been there since when I was
like
4
kid?
Years old. My dad asked me, he said, hey, do you want to stay home or do you want to come with me to work? And I said, well, of course I want to go to work. That would be much funner than staying home with mom. And,
sure.
And soon after that, mom was at work anyways, and then all the other kids were at work. And then pretty soon, you didn't have a choice. I said, I want to play football today, Dad. And he goes, that's nice after
yeah, that's
work.
Yeah, that's nice. Come to work.
6 o'clock, you can do whatever you want after your homework as well. So he kind of got used to having us work, and so we started working, and we had our jobs to do. And then, you know, by the time I was... 13, 14, I was running my department, and, you know, and all of us kids worked. And so we were doing men's jobs at a young age. And my dad always felt that he needed to teach you a craft because you had to make yourself make your way in the world, and you had to learn, and you had to do that on your own. And so when I went to college, I had a job. I had job offers, you know, and so I was able to put myself through college easily with a good job from the things that my father had taught me. So while I was not always very happy with my father making me work, there was a purpose to it, and
it
so I appreciated it.
It was a useful trade.
It was a useful
and
trade.
And even though you were surrounded by all those guns from the time you were 4 years old, you've managed to restrain yourself from becoming a felon.
In elementary school, one of my little projects, most kids were working on birdhouses and various things, and I decided that I would build a 40-millimeter cannon. And so as I'm wheeling this down the hallway, I couldn't drive or anything. I'm in grade school. So I had to get my sister to drive my cannon to school, and I'd get a couple buddies, and we'd unload it, and we'd wheel it down the hallways.
We are old.
Because
you could do that.
You could do that in those years. And I tell you, no one ever looked at it funny. It's like, hey, there's a cannon. And, you know, and I still have that cannon. It shoots really good. It's one of my favorites. And that's the kind of world it was. And, you know, it can be that way again, but we've let it get to this nonsense that what we have today. And there was no problem with me working on my naval carriage on my 40-millimeter cannon in grade school. There was no problem with that.
Right.
And while it was a little bigger project than a birdhouse, there was no issue with it.
No, but now if you bite your sandwich into the shape of a gun,
you're cooking.
You're going down.
Hold your finger out. Your
yeah.
Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
Pop-Tarts
no
are
finger
dangerous.
Guns. No finger guns. You're going to go
yep.
out and not come back.
Super
yeah.
stupid. So we have Peter from here in Reading who has a question, a comment.
Yeah, hello.
Or both.
Hello, Peter.
Fire away.
Thank you for having me. I never thought 27 years ago when I immigrated to America I'd be talking at 71 years of age about bloody guns. But, you guys have to learn to fight like Trump fights. You're too nice. The whole purpose of guns... Look, there's 33,000 people killed with handguns. That's from the Guns, Crime and Freedom book written by Wayne LaPierre. It hasn't changed much. 50% of those are through suicide. So we're down to 15 to 16,000 people. You know, there's 100,000 people killed by bad anesthetic and all this in the hospitals. God knows how many killed by cars. The government doesn't give a damn about how many people that are killed by guns. Most of the people killed by guns aren't paying taxes. That's why the government doesn't give a damn. Now, the innocent people, that's a bad, bad situation. However, this BS about getting rid of guns has nothing to do with shooting the deer to feed your family. It has to do with protection of your family. But the main protection of your family is from the bloody government. The government, all governments are evil, all governments want to control people, and they cannot control people if people have guns and can form militias.
Well,
and that's where we have to attack them on. Forget about this, someone coming in, breaking into your house. I mean, that's important, but the main issue, the founding fathers, they all came from countries that were run by tyrants and despots. And the only reason the government wants to take your guns away is so they can have total control. They're getting control of our water, our food, and the guns are the last issue. Forget about the safety factor at home with the homeless guys or whatever. The main issue, the government wants to take your guns so you cannot form a militia and fight back.
No, you're right, Peter. And,
you're totally right.
No, and Peter, you know, he's come to council and various other things. He's very blunt, and I love him because
and we like that.
We need that. We need more of that in the world. And he's absolutely right. We've been too nice. We've let our government and governments take our rights away every year, more and more, and we've become complacent. And Peter's right. If this trend is going to change, people are going to have to get up and say, we're not going to do it anymore. And I think that's what this State of Jefferson movement's all about.
I get so frustrated. I make a lot of excuses for Americans because Americans are the nicest people on earth. But you know, most Americans before Obama came into power most of them probably couldn't even tell you what the word socialism meant. However, it was all out there. There was plenty of books out there about Barack Obama, telling you what he was like before Americans elected him. But, you know, most people couldn't be bothered reading them, and I did. And he's exactly what his books explain him, mainly the case against Barack Obama with David Freduso. But the media was behind him. He said all the right things. He was a good-looking guy, and, you know, he had charisma, and he people loved him, right? I didn't. But anyway, I made excuses. Okay, he's in. But after 4 years, putting him in again, no more excuses. I mean, today we're so bloody ignorant about what's going on. What's that guy that Walters that goes around on Bill O'Reilly's show?
Oh, yeah, Jesse Waters.
College, you see how bloody stupid, we're educating our children. And you know what? I am so upset and frustrated. And if Americans, I want Trump to be the, I love Ted Cruz too, and any of them up there would be better than Hillary Clinton. But I want Hillary Clinton to run. She should be in bloody jail, but I want Trump or Cruz or against Hillary Clinton, because if Americans elect Hillary Clinton, we are finished. We are finished, and it makes it easy for me, being selfish. I can just drop out of everything and say I'm no longer proud to be American.
You can go be Australian again. You've got that great accent.
No, it's not better there. This is still the best there is. And they're
still
trying
have a great
to make
accent,
it like the rest of the world. You know, they want everyone equal. And I mean, You know, the whole country's evolving around the homeless and the poor and the minorities. And, you know, I want to hear about a few bloody winners. You know, you read this local rag here in the paper. I mean, all Reading's talking about are the homeless and the and how to take care of the mentally retarded. As I said before, the Board of Supervisors recently, 50% of Americans have mental health problems. They put a communist Muslim in the bloody White House.
Yeah, but I can't get over the fact you said retarded on the radio because we were just laughing about that yesterday.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling, Peter.
Okay, mate. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks a million. We're going to come right back. We have Bill on the line. Hang with us, Bill. You're our hostage now for 2 minutes. We have to take a commercial break so we can laugh harder. Peter is great fun. Always fun. I've missed you. I should go to more city council meetings.
I should go to Outback more often.
That too. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
To play shoot 'em up,
shoot 'em up, bang bang, baby.
That was very politically incorrect, Bob. Heck,
I know.
Peter inspired you, didn't he?
Yeah. Peter's quite a guy.
That is fun.
Can't really argue with much
no,
what he had to say, though. I mean,
you know, in all seriousness, he's totally right. It is to defend us from the government. Yep. And God knows, I don't think that's really been on people's mind more than it has the last few years.
If you want to be defended, if you want to defend yourself from the government, do you want to have a pop
hammer?
Gun, single shot, or do you want to have something that can lay down some hate, as they say?
Well, if you're in California, keep those hammers handy just in case.
That's right.
So we lost our hostage on hold. He'll have to call us back.
Well, we were talking about the possibility of our next governor.
Do we have to?
What the options are there and what's going to happen when Moonbeam is gone.
They're bad and they're bad. I mean, it's...
Well, one of the things that's happened is a few years ago when the governor was being or about to be reelected, he didn't want to be seen as an anti-gun governor. And so he told the Senate and Assembly, don't put 20 anti-gun bills on my desk. Well, they did, and so the governor responded by vetoing a few of those. Several of those now, I believe three, Gavin Newsom is gathering signatures, and they'll be on the general election in November for folks to vote on. And one is very critical for us, and unfortunately it's probably going to pass in California, and that's ammo registration. And
I heard about that.
That is where you're going to have a permit. You're going to have to pass a background check first, get an ammo permit, and then the ammo that you buy will be registered with the state, and then there will be some limitations as to the quantities that you can buy. And that is going to be on the ballot for voters to agree or not to agree come this November.
So if you're a big target guy and you go out and shoot 200-400 rounds in a day, are they going to start looking at you when you're out there buying?
Well,
yes.
But clearly, if you buy larger quantities, they're going to see that as a potential issue, a red flag, if you will.
But that's not illegal.
Not illegal, but they're not going to like it. The state will not like that you're buying a large quantity. What are you doing with that amount of ammo? Why are you buying 1,000 rounds? You see it in the paper already now.
Oh, yeah.
He was arrested with a gun. He had 2,000 rounds of ammo. Well, a competitive target shooter will shoot that in a week.
Right, exactly.
So what do you – but it's how the media portrays a person with certain types of firearms, the numbers of firearms, and you're guilty through association.
Yeah.
You know, this guy was arrested on drugs, and then he had 4 guns and ammo. Well, there's nothing illegal with the gun and the ammo. The drugs are is, but the problem is that they've made the gun and the ammunition guilty through association. They do
right.
it every night on the news.
Because what would you need that for?
Right.
Well, you're exactly right. There was an article in the paper – it was a few weeks ago where they had arrested a guy who had, and the headline was, huge gun and ammunition stash.
Right.
He had 6 handguns, 1 rifle, and 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
You're going to prison.
That is not even close to what, you know, most gun collectors would have in their possession.
Yeah, to me
and
that's...
So they're going to be looking at them like criminals.
That's what I have under my pillow.
Yeah, I mean, that's really nothing. That's really not
charming.
A lot of ammo.
That's a charming picture. Okay, so we've got a couple questions. We have somebody who wants to know if it's going to pertain to components, gun components.
Not yet, but you always, you know, when they're working on this stuff, you always start with the loaded cartridge first. And as you get that under control and as the public becomes complacent to it, then you turn your attention to the components. Because what will happen is more people will start reloading once that ban or that regulation is in effect. More people will start reloading, and then they will add to it, as we've seen them do before, and then you'll have to register primers. And they don't even have to do all the components to know who you are.
That's
you
true.
Know, if you have powder, bullet, and primer, all they would have to do is primer or powder, and that's easy enough to do. So they'll start first with the ammunition and then go into the components later on. But to be honest, there's very few people that reload compared to the total number of people that purchase. That number will change as regulation comes, and then they'll have more regulation because these guys love regulation. Now, we haven't talked about something that I think is coming. In fact, I'm going to make you this
Is it something
statement.
Bad?
It's not good. And I'm going to guarantee you this, that they're talking about it and that it will come. It's just a matter of time. So California Department of Justice, when they do a background check, they do not have their own data system. They use Department of Motor Vehicles, the database, because it's the most complete in California. It's the most vast. And they like that system, and they like that all the automobiles are registered automobiles, and all firearms now are considered to be registered. And they really like that DMV to help pay for that system, that you get in the mail each year a renewal registration bill each year. And in the future, and not very far in the future, they're going to contemplate that you're going to require a registration card with a yearly fee just like DMV. And I guarantee you it's coming.
For each gun.
For every gun. Now, that's a great tool for them, and think about it. That paying a fee per gun per year, how many guns you want to own? Now, the fee, of course, will be nominal to start off with. It'll be a small fee, $2, something small just to get you to do it.
Right.
And then pretty soon it's 30 and 40 and it's 50. Then it's $100. How many guns you want to own when you're paying a $100 fee per year? Now, gun collecting will be out of the question. If you have 100 guns, which is normally great, the better, the more guns you have, the better wealth you have. But now if you're paying a $100 fee per year, you're going to die.
Yeah, you can't do that.
It's a great tool, and it's coming. And it's going to be just like your automobile registration. And they've already been talking about it. Europe already has it. And it's coming to California soon.
You know, when you talk about...
So it'll take down the rest of the country shortly.
When you talk about sharing databases, I had a customer that told me a story. He went camping last year. And he went into a state park. And when he went to the little toll booth there to pay his camping fee, the gal stuck her head out of the window and said, "Mr. So-and-so, I see you have two handguns registered in your name. Do you have either one of those guns with you today?" This is at a campground.
Right.
I was shocked that's now going to be something that they'll ask you when you take your kids on a camping trip.
Well, the other problem today is that because firearms are considered registered, the state gets to keep and control that information, and they also can share that information. And with the vastness of the computers today, there is a multitude of things that they can do, and I think you would be probably shocked to know all of what they do with that information and who they share it with. You or I do not know exactly who they're sharing it with, but obviously some people are learning about who that information is being shared with. And, of course, breaches in this data also have been occurring. And who else has this information? And where have they been getting this information? Have they been stealing this information from other gun shops across California? Have they been keeping it incorrectly all these years? What has been happening? These are a lot of questions. And who's there to help us to make sure that things are done correctly and appropriately by law? And none of that there, none of that is in place today. And again, this is all from California Department of Justice. The people that have been caught overcharging on every background check in California for the last decade, and nothing has happened to them. Hmm. They've been overcharging and hiding that money in a special account, and nothing has happened. And
lovely.
This is the state of California.
Have you had much...
Well, hold on. We have Bill in line.
Oh,
Bill.
Okay.
Bill's being preempted by Bill.
Hold that thought.
The other Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to hang up on you. I'm sorry. I'm working today, too. So, hey, I married somebody not long ago from Oregon, and all the weapons actually that she owns, which is quite a few, are probably going to end up back here. How do I know what's legal and what's not? Do I bring it in, like, to your shop? And then what's the best way to re-register those in California?
So under
California... I'd like to take my call off air because I can hear it better on the radio. Is that okay?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Thanks
all right.
Thank you.
So good question. And so, yeah, people do come into California, and you are required to report those with Department of Justice. You can actually get the form offline or get it from DMV. Imagine that. And you report every make, model, serial number, and you send in a fee, and they will – that's called a report of ownership. It is required. And they will put those guns into your name, and California, then, Department of Justice, will have them on record so they will know where those guns are, and they will know who you are, and that is a requirement. Now – probably ought to do a list and bring it into your local gun shop like mine, and we can go through that list to make sure all those can come into California because not all guns can.
Yeah, Oregon
and,
has a whole different set of rules. I mean, you can buy guns
states.
Up there,
who,
you
who
can't get
thought,
in California.
Who would have thought, you know, Oregon had- I mean, it was always, you know, all those crazy people in Oregon. Now we've, unfortunately, we're sucking all the air out of the crazy room.
We've got all the crazies. Nevertheless, there are some guns that will cannot come into California. And you don't obviously want to register a gun with the state of California that can't come here, that's, say, in a California assault handgun or assault rifle. So you do need to make sure that that those guns may have to stay behind. That's just the process. Hopefully everything that you have can be registered with the state. That is the law today.
And congratulations on your marriage, and it sounds like your new wife is really nice and smart.
Just don't
awesome,
make her mad.
But don't piss her off.
Yeah.
Exactly. We've got to take a really quick break. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back with Patrick Jones from Jones Ford. She's going to do a little less drinking, though. All righty, you're back.
No,
all right.
So. I don't think that song made the number one charts.
Probably not.
And they were upset with Gunpowder Lead, too. Can you imagine?
I know. That's a good one, too. Huh? Are we moving that way?
Miranda Lambert, yeah.
We're in the Miranda Lambert series now. Okay, so what have we missed?
Well, it's a vast amount of information. And so as the caller had asked... you know, if he's coming into California with certain guns, what does he have to do? And he does have to register those with the state. So I feel sorry for him in that regard because that is a requirement of the law. And
the
he
odds
might,
of them all being okay are like
slim.
Kind of slim.
Yeah, it's slim. Yeah. So he may have to leave a couple behind. And if he doesn't, that could be an issue for him. So that's unfortunate that that happens. But, you know, that's the state that we live in today, in that at least he's smart enough to know that. Because how are you going to know that? How would
exactly.
you possibly know that you've got, as you come into the state of California, that you have to register all your guns with the state? Now, DMV usually gives you something, because you usually do go to DMV to get a driver's license, and they usually give you something that says you have to register all your guns, and that's usually the way people find out about
mm-hmm.
it. But that is a requirement of the law. It's unfortunate, and there's so many other laws out there. How do people know what they can and can't do? And it's silliness when California is passing 1,000 laws a year. You know, a legislature can't even read the text of 1,000 bills a year, and that's what they're passing. Well, how's the public going to possibly know it? And all the gun laws that have mounted up now over the last 25 years, is absolutely insanity, and you can't hardly do it right. A law-abiding person literally can't. You've got to go through great effort to do it right, and it shouldn't be that way.
No.
And that's why people and gun owners are leaving California at an all-time rate, is because we've infringed on your freedom so greatly. We have the best state in the union, best state in the world, and we're forcing people to leave. What a sad thing, and the California legislature doesn't even get a clue.
No, they have no clue. We're causing people to get itchy trigger fingers because they're all calling us.
Excellent.
So we have Horse Creek Mike, and we've got Terry on hold, so we will tear through those. What's going on, Mike?
Well, I've got a question. Pat alluded to the fact that if my mother gives me a gun and I go to Washington and pick it up, that I can legally, you know, she gives me a gun, I can legally bring it into California whether it's on the roster or not.
That's the way I understand it, yes.
Okay. So,
biological mother.
Understand she's 95, 96. And she has absolutely no need for a 38 Super, a 9mm pistol, when she can't handle a 22 short, okay? But I want one of these guns, and I can't legally buy them in California. So she goes in to the gun store, and on the federal form it says, is this gun for you? Well, if it's a gift, she has to say no, in which case it's denied. If she says yes, how long does she have to keep it before she can then gift it to me? And since I also have a Washington State ID and a Washington State concealed carry, I can go into any gun store in Washington, buy any gun that they happen to have in the shelf, and walk out with it that day. Now, it's registered to me. If I register it to her and then she gifts it to me and re-registered it to me, can I then bring it in without... You know, I'm worried about catching her up in a straw purchase business.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the things that you've talked about, you're probably going to need an attorney for, to be honest, to try to go around the law, because that is what you're talking about. You're probably going to run into some problems. Now, I can't tell you all the details about the gifting portion other than in basic terms, that your mother can gift you a gun in that vertical line, and that would be acceptable. Now, you're going to have to show residency one way or the other. Now, you can be a resident of California, you can be a resident of Washington, and for Californians, you can go to many other states in the Union, like Kentucky, and buy a firearm, but that does not mean you can bring it legally back to California. So you can buy it in Kentucky and leave it in Kentucky. And so while you can buy things in Washington, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can bring it in. And if you buy it in Washington and get it to your mother in New York, and you're probably going to run into issues with the law. I would be certain of that. But again, check with your attorney. I doubt you could probably talk to somebody at Department of Justice in California. I don't know how helpful they will be.
Who would have thought just such a shrimpy little amendment, you know, the Second Amendment would require, you know, an attorney and a, you know, hours and hours and hours of going through all the choices.
Yeah, and I mean, it's such a difficult thing here, and I hate to give somebody legal advice because I really don't, but and you really do if you're going to do those things, maybe check with the Department of Justice or get some legal advice. In general terms, you know, mother and father can gift son or daughter a gun, and that even a non-rostered gun, that still is legal in general terms. The fine detail, probably ought to seek an attorney.
Because that note from your mother isn't going to work.
Yeah, a note from my mother, and she has no problem with my competitive sports, you know. It seems obscene that I cannot compete on an equal basis with people from out of the state.
Well, it's true, and, you know, we're restricted by 90%. You know that. You've looked at that roster, and I encourage anybody, if they're unfamiliar with the roster, if you're going to buy a handgun, you're going to need to go look at that. So you've seen we're out of most handguns. We're restricted by 90% and rising, and so the insanity, the battle is almost over, and people don't even know that it occurred. We're losing our gun rights. We're losing our freedoms. And the public is, for the most part, unaware. The paper should be all over this. They should be furious at the loss of our gun rights. But yet, the papers are liberal, and they will not print these things.
Well, because that means that you're in favor of people getting shot.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's completely illogical.
But, all right. Thank you all.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
We got Terry.
Yeah.
still hanging in there on line two. Terry, what's going on?
Hey, I've got one complaint that I always have. I don't understand why the NRA and other organizations like them try to have a debate or an argument to convince the politicians like Obama and others, the safety and all that, when we know darn well that they know that. They know the facts. They don't give a hoot. What they want is confiscation. Why don't we just keep saying over and over, every time we have an opportunity, confiscation, that's all you want. And they'll say, no, we want to say, no, you want confiscation. And use that. We know that they know that what John Watt has written and all the evidence that he has. They don't care.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's the problem that we have in Washington is you're in the biggest political machine in the world, and public perception is huge, and so much games go on to try to convince the ignorant public of what may be right or wrong. And so you see all these decisions being made and arguments being structured in such a way to try to get their point across to the vast majority of unintelligent voters. And that's the games that they're playing. They can't be honest because most people wouldn't understand the honesty and the truthfulness. They wouldn't understand it because they're not there. But you're right. They're right. And you just have to be smart enough to realize that most of what they say isn't the truth and that there is a bigger agenda, and it's about controlling people and power. And that's what it's about.
Do you think that most of the people know that people like Obama and Hillary, they don't give a damn about the kids that are dying? They care less.
They don't understand that. You're right. They don't understand it. They still try to take a person as it's on their word. And I just talked to a gal the other day that I was selling a gun to, and she goes, you know, I kind of like Obama's speech the other day, and he seems honest and sincere, and I had to correct her.
Did you freak out?
No, because he's good.
He's a good professional.
He's crafty. He's slick with his words. And what I told this gal, I said, you know, take a look at the history of what this guy did in Illinois. He is a staunch anti-gunner, and what he says and what he can do are two different things. And don't make any mistake about this guy. He is a staunch socialist, communist, anti-gun president, and he's just simply not being able to accomplish what he wants, but he's going to accomplish what he can. And
you know, there's one thing that I always think about is that, you know, we all know that the mass shootings are horrible, but how many hundreds of thousands, I think it was 1.5 million people every year, their lives are saved or protected because they carried a gun?
Good
That's
point.
A lot more than the people we lose.
Absolutely. And the papers should be printing this, but they're not, because that doesn't sell papers.
That blows the whole narrative.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I'm thankful for radio stations like this, what Bill and Aaron do to try to get out the truth so that people can think a little differently. Because if you read the local papers, and when they're owned by liberal organizations, you're not going to get the truth. You're not going to get the facts. And in fact, we're losing our country right in front of our eyes because of what is being allowed to happen.
And the interesting part is that what happens with conservatives, if they don't want guns, they just don't buy them.
Right.
But if liberals don't like guns, they don't want anybody to buy them.
Correct.
So
I think one of the things that needs to be said by the politicians today is that if you want a gun, Democrat or Republican, you need to vote Republican or you're going to lose your gun next year.
Well, it's true, but
you
unfortunately,
just keep saying that. They're actually not allowed to tell you how to vote.
It was a good question. We appreciate the phone call.
Hey, thanks.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks a million. Yes, and cling to your guns. And, you know, it's Sunday, so cling to your religion, too. What the heck? We need to take a really quick break. We're going to come back. We have Fred as our hostage on hold. We're not happy if we don't have a hostage. You know, it's good talking about guns, having hostages. It's fantastic.
It's what we do.
That's just good fun for everybody. Good, clean fun. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Lip sits above the mantel on a couple rusty nails. Ain't worth a lot of money, and it damn sure ain't for sale. Good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. My granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of the Sears Roebuck catalog. It shot many shells over the back of an old bird dog. It backed the burglar down when Grandma took the safety off Granddaddy's gun. Just an old double barrel 12. Stock was cracked and it kicks like hell. Wouldn't mean what it means to me to no one. I can still hear his voice when I put it to my shoulder. It comes like a woman, son, it's all how you hold her. Taught me a whole lot more than how to hunt. One of these days I'll pass it on to my grandson. Granddaddy's gone.
I'm going home, rolling low with my shotgun, way by the door, and light a cigarette. He wants a fire, well, now he's got one. He ain't seen me crazy yet. Slapped my face and shook me like a rag doll. No, that sound like a real man. I'm on the shore, holding a girl's tomato, gunpowder and lead.
Yep, one of our callers just married her. God love you. Go Bill and Mrs. Bill. All right, so we have Fred on the line with probably a question.
Yep.
Comment?
Fred, you there?
Thoughts?
Yes, I am.
Fire away.
Patrick.
Yes.
You know, I've been a California resident since the early 40s and have purchased numerous guns in the 50s and 60s. Am I out of compliance with California state law by not registering any or all of them?
No. No, you're fine. Keep in mind that millions and millions of guns have been sold in California, whether it was the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. And when you bought that gun, you did everything that was required within the law when you bought it here in California, and so you're fine. There is no laws as of today that you have to go back and do something different with the guns that you have. You have them, you own them, they're yours, you don't have to do anything with them. You can give them to your sons and daughters, and that is completely legal, and so you don't have to go back in time. Now, if you were to sell them yet, if you were to sell them to, say, your neighbor, Jim, then a private party transfer that we have in California would need to occur, and that's where you and your neighbor would go into a local gun store and wait the 10 days, and the new purchaser would pick them up. But you're fine. You don't have to go back and do anything. Those guns are unregistered, and that's fine. There are millions of guns out there that are in that category, and they are just fine. You don't have to do a thing.
One other question. If I wanted to transport any or all of them to a gun shop for whatever reason, would I be in violation of any California state law?
No. When you go to a gun shop with any firearm, that is within the law. However, you do need, in California today, most likely most of those firearms should be in a locked container. Now, if you have a car, an automobile that has a trunk, the trunk would be a lockable container, and you can put those handguns in there and long guns too. And so in long guns, you don't have to have them in a locked container, but if you're within 1,000 feet of a school, they would need to be locked. And in California, the likelihood is if you drive to a gun store, you're probably going to be within 1,000 feet of a school. So you should really, to be on the safe side, lock everything. If you have a trunk, put them in a trunk. If you have a truck, and you have like a toolbox, one of the big toolboxes, you could put them all in there. That's a lockable container. If they're in the driving compartment of the vehicle, they would need to be in a separate locked container. No ammunition in or on the gun. You could have ammo in another container, but not in or on the gun, and you can certainly go to a gun store for the fitting of a holster or repair or so forth.
Thank you very much.
All right,
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, because that is kind of scary with everything we've been talking about. People are at home going, ro-ro.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there. And, you know, a new law that went into effect January 1st of 2016 is that for now, all California concealed weapon permit holders, your permit now is no longer valid, and this is a bill the governor signed, on school campuses. And so while you were legally able to go on a campus prior as a legitimate permit holder, now you cannot. And essentially, the gun-free zone on schools just became that much more dangerous now because law-abiding people like myself, we will not go on campuses and pick our children up. And so what a sad state of affairs, but that's classic California going backwards instead of forwards.
Well, yeah, because if you're going to go do, you know, commit a gun crime on a campus, you don't have to worry about anybody taking you out.
Correct.
It's your home free.
The other thing I wanted to mention before we finish today, because I know we're closing in on
the
hour.
Yes, please do.
But I'm very fortunate to be the producer for the Redding Gun Shows. And if you're listening in Pennsylvania, this is Redding, California, which is R-E-D-D-I-N-G. But it's I know you have a Redding in Pennsylvania
that's
as well.
Right. That's right.
And, we have two gun shows here in Redding, California. And the next one coming up is March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. That's on Hilltop Drive. And I'm very proud to be able to keep that tradition alive. It's not easy to do a gun show in California. We have lots of rules and regulations. And, in fact, I could not do it with a army of volunteers. And I want to thank my volunteers. I've got over 50 volunteers that help us man every door and every exit and man the building 24 hours a day so that we can continue to hold gun shows here in California.
Because that's what the rules say?
That's what
the
law.
You have to have a zillion people?
You have to man every door, and that is a law. And so we will follow the Gun Show Act of 2000. In fact, we are sticklers on it. We make sure that everything is done in accordance with California state law so that we can continue to have gun shows here in Redding. And so I'm very pleased that the one in March here coming up on the 5th and 6th, it'll be a sellout. Advertising will start here on February 1st, and we're going to get a lot of people coming through. We have vendors now coming from all over the western part of the United States, and ammo, reloading components, guns, new, used, old, antique, historic, modern, everything.
How many people do you expect to show up?
You know, on this year, because of all the attention in the media, I think we'll have probably at least 4,000 people go through the doors.
Wow.
And it could be higher than that. People are very concerned now, as the president has said, that mm-hmm. he wants to dictate how gun shows are being done, that states shouldn't regulate how shows are being done, that he knows best. There's a lot of attention
Thank
on
goodness
shows.
He's almost gone.
And I can tell you that a gun show also is a place that people can bring firearms. If you have guns that you don't want to sell, you're going to have thousands of people go through there and over 100 vendors. And so you can bring a gun in. In fact, I have vendors that come to this show just for what people bring in. They've bought some excellent guns that they can take back to their states and their cities and do well with. And so they really like when the public brings firearms into the show that they no longer want, be it new or used, old or whatever.
That's true. I bet we are good picking these days.
Well, there's just a lot of
stuff
that comes in and older things, something that you don't have an interest in, someone else will.
Right.
And maybe that person isn't in Redding. Maybe they're from Sacramento or San Jose, but it's a great opportunity to sell as well as buy. And so I'm very proud of the show coming up, and I really do want to thank all my volunteers.
Nice. We'll put that information on the website. If you're driving along and you didn't have a chance to write that down, I'll get it on there. And we should just put a little caveat here at the end. Congress, our Congress that we have now in the House and the Senate, there's no way they're passing any gun legislation. So the stuff that's coming from the president, that's one thing, but it's not going to go through Congress and actually be a real law. It'll just be some dopey executive order.
Correct.
Boo hiss on dopey executive orders. All right. Guys, have a great week. Thanks a million zillion for
Thank
coming
you, Patrick.
In. And obviously, guns are a hot topic and cause people to call us a lot. So
Thanks.
That's very
Thank
fun.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks, Bob. Fun music. See you next week. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
So
bye-bye.
What's going to take get you on board a supervisor?